If you'd like to convene the Finance Committee, we do now have a quorum present. First bill we have on the agenda will be Representative Mulry, but while we are having Representative Mulry come forward, we have the approval of the minutes. Representative Paymar, you were here early, first of the St. Paul delegation to arrive, I think.
Congratulations.
Oh, was that Representative Mahoney? Okay. They were at full strength early. That's. But would you care to move the minutes, Representative Paymar?
So moved.
The motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none then. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We have House File 931 by Representative Mulry dealing with predatory mortgage lending practices. The chair moves that House File 931, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify, or no, wait a minute, we got a, do you have your homework done, by the way, Representative Mulry?
Do I have my homework?
That's a question between
all
you and I. The homework.
Work.
Yes.
Related to a certain chair?
Yes.
I think I do.
Oh, you think you do. Okay. Well, then we can progress with the bill here. Okay.
Far enough to discuss it.
Representative Mulry, if you would, I got a little bit ahead of myself there because I was thinking of the amendment that you have. We need a second motion, and I'll move that for you. I'll move that the amendment, being that your homework is done, A070715, be adopted, and if you could explain the amendment, Representative Mulry.
Mr. Chair,
just to put the amendment in the form that you desire, as I understand.
Mr. Chairman, things changed this morning. There's a couple of oral amendments. We talked to a chair of the Ways and Means this morning, and so there's a couple of oral amendments. On page 2 of the amendment, line 2.32, after the word violation, there would be a new sentence that says, provided, comma, the maximum term of imprisonment shall not exceed 2 years, period. Line 2.32.
I'm sure we've got that.
After the word violation.
First part of the amendment. Oh, okay. If you could repeat that, Representative Mulry, the first
thank
part.
You, Mr. Chair. On line 2.32, after the word violation and the period, then insert, provided, comma, the maximum term of imprisonment shall not exceed 2 years, period.
Okay, you have that, and then you said
one other
part.
On line 2.5, after the word counseling, insert or credit counseling.
Okay, Representative Mulry incorporates those changes into his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Essentially, what does the amendment do? Or is that going to be the bill?
That will, the amendments that I just gave to the amendment, it's mortgage loan counseling or credit counseling services. If they're certified as either one of those, they would be qualify as a loan counselor for this purpose of the bill. And the other amendment was brought up by the Representative Solberg this morning as Chair of Ways and Means, because the new language in the sentencing could have been interpreted to allow longer sentences than 2 years. It's ambiguous, and so this would provide that specifically that it can't be more than 2 years, which was the original bill.
Okay, Representative Solberg.
And Mr. Chair, just to clarify that, in the original bill, we in the fiscal note that given us to the preliminary fiscal note, it says that it's assumed that most offenders will receive fiscal sanctions rather than jail or prison time, and therefore the state and local correction resources would be minimal. The impact would be minimal.
Okay, so this amendment then, for Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mulway, my only concern is that if you have a really, really bad apple, they get a fiscal fine and they go bankrupt and they can't pay the fiscal fine and they're only going to be in jail for 2 years. So this doesn't allow for anything more than that 2 years?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, no, it wouldn't with this amendment, and that was the original bill that all parties had agreed to. There was a change that was the reason that the sentencing was changed was that the Senate wanted it tied into existing theft statutes, and so it got into an issue of ambiguity in the existing statute of whether it could be more than 2 years. But the original bill adopted by all of the, there was, as you know, there was a lot of parties to this Attorney General's task force, and all of the parties had agreed to the 2 years as the maximum term.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
I have a good sense of what the Ways and Means Chair and yourself, more yourself, are trying to accomplish here. I just have a concern that there's no way to, if someone really is egregious in their behavior, so hopefully before this, our Governor Pelini signs this into law, you take that in consideration as you move this bill forward, that there might be a place for us to punish people who are more egregious in this particular avenue than just a couple of years in jail and essentially no fiscal fine because they can bankrupt themselves and away from it.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, the people that work on the bill as the staff people are in the room and have heard that. I'll obviously have communicated to them your concerns. I don't know whether at this point they can assemble the big group that developed this bill or not for this year.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
Representative Mulley, it is us that make the law, not the staff, not the interest groups, not anyone else. And as you go forward, I'm sure you'll take that leadership role.
Okay, this will put the bill then in the order that the author has chosen, and that oral amendment was incorporated into the amendment. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mulley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Basically, the only reason for this bill being in this committee was the section in the original bill regarding credit counseling, and that was a requirement that if you had a special mortgage, such as some of the HUD programs, especially local government programs and some of the like Habitat and Humanity, et cetera, you get mortgages which may be forgiven after 5 years or after 10 years, something like that. They're very special mortgages that are very, normally you can't get because they're highly subsidized, usually by government or by a charity. And we don't want people refinancing those without some type of counseling as to what they're doing. And so the original bill said that the Commissioner of Commerce would put together the list of credit counselors. And that was confusing apparently to them. And so they thought they needed two full-time people, which I think probably actually they needed maybe 2 hours a month. But so we decided to fix that by just taking it out and instead inserting the language from 2.2 to 2.7 of the amendment, which says that rather than Commerce doing it, we already have U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development doing it, and we have, I believe, MHFA, the Minnesota Home Ownership Center, Minnesota Mortgage Foreclosure Prevention, Our Neighbor Works America. They all do those lists, so anybody on any of those lists for credit counseling would qualify as a counselor for those special mortgages. And then the other two parts of this amendment, one is just there was concern that subprime lending was not defined, and so that's defined, and all the parties have agreed to this in lines 1.3 through 1.22, basically. And that's the purpose of that language, is to get exactly what subprime lending is. And the other one was just the what I mentioned before, changing the sentencing to tie in to the theft statutes.
Okay, any further discussion on the bill as amended?
Sure.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mallory, can you help me understand, and I just, I'm sure there was some discussion about this, but I don't recall it. Why is this bill traveling on its own as opposed to being in Representative Paymar's omnibus public safety bill?
It was
General Mallory.
Well, it was in Mr. Chair and Representative Coles. It was in our coming out of our committee omnibus real property bill. It was in that omnibus bill, and the reason it got pulled out and traveling on its own is sitting right there. There was a fiscal note suddenly for it, and so it got pulled out. It was actually going on, and it was scheduled for the floor, and then the fiscal note came out, and it got pulled to this committee. And that was because the Commerce Department thought that they had a problem. And I talked to Pat Sexton, since we took them out as the putting together that list. He's the representative for the Commerce Department here. He said they would not have any fiscal note for it.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, then the chair renews the motion that House File 931, the first engrossment as recommended, be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Okay, we now have House File, or Senate File, excuse me, 238 by Representative Huntley, the Freedom to Breathe Act. The chair will need a motion by Representative Rukavina. Is he? Well, there he is. Representative Rukavina, did you want to move the division report? Oh, okay. I don't think you heard me. The chair moves the Higher Education and Workforce Development Division report for Senate File 238, the first unofficial engrossment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate File 238, first unofficial committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, it's a pleasure to be back in this committee again with this bill. This relates to preventing secondhand smoke from affecting our workforce. As the bill is now, a local unit of government could allow smoking in a bar
if they had separate ventilation from the rest of the system, and if no workers were present in that facility. Mr. Chair, it's members, it's interesting that tomorrow there's going to be a hearing on mesothelioma on the range, which, and in this hearing, it has to do with roughly 50 people have died from mesothelioma on the range in the past 20 years. Secondhand smoke is 580 Minnesotans die every year. The evidence is clear. The Surgeon General's report just came out this past year is quite clear in what it says. Certainly it's been criticized, just like the 1964 Surgeon General's report was criticized and when he said that smoking caused cancer. That was criticized. And the same arguments we heard in 1964, we're hearing again over this Surgeon General's report. I want to just read a few things from the Surgeon General's report. Secondhand smoke causes premature death and disease in children and in adults who do not smoke. Exposure of adults to secondhand smoke has immediate adverse effects on the cardiovascular system and causes coronary heart disease and lung cancer. The scientific evidence indicates that there is no risk-free exposure to secondhand smoke, and separating smokers from non-smokers, cleaning the air, and ventilating buildings cannot eliminate exposure to non-smokers to secondhand smoke, and I can go on and on, but there's a clear relationship between secondhand smoke and lung cancer and heart disease. So this bill is an attempt to try to protect our workforce from unsafe workplaces, I urge you to support it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I too would like to just chime in just quickly. We have been through numerous committees. This bill has had a substantial number of hearings and had witnesses that have come to the table on numerous occasions, and those witnesses that were able to actually speak to this issue have related to the committees the hazards that they have seen suffered under secondhand smoke. In fact, one of the nurses that came to my office with a group of nurses who were in favor of the Freedom to Breathe Act basically said every one of those representatives ought to be able to sit by the bedside and watch somebody who's dying from secondhand smoke, who's dying from emphysema and cancer, and the terror that that person goes through. Just to put some value to what we're doing here today, I think it's extremely important for us to realize as policymakers, as people who set before us the public safety, the security, the economic development, and the infrastructure for the state of Minnesota, to understand that this is not just something that has all of a sudden come before us. In fact, 40% of the state is now designated smoke-free voluntarily. People are waiting for us as representatives, as leaders in public policy, to take this step forward and say, this is something that is for the health of the people of Minnesota, and we need to institute this policy statewide. Members, I appreciate your time, the time that we have put into this bill, and it's time for this bill to go through, get approved, and I appreciate your vote.
Okay, the motion is before us to recommend it to be passed and sent to the General Register, but we do have an amendment or two. Representative Seifert has an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A5 amendment.
Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is simply adds into the definition of secondhand smoke the smoking of marijuana, that it shall not be permitted in to be smoked in a place of employment. If we're going to have secondhand smoke arguments, I don't know why we'd allow secondhand smoke for marijuana and not for cigarettes. I assume, I haven't had a chance to talk to the author because I kind of put this together quickly. I had people back home that had heard on one hand that we weren't going to allow cigarette smoking in private places of employment, but that potentially we were going to allow smoking marijuana in places of employment. in maybe an opposite world that makes sense, but I think in the world that I live in back in my district, at least, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. So if we're going to go down this road, I think that this amendment would make sense to most average people back home. So I would move the amendment, and I didn't have a chance to talk to Representative Huntley over the weekend, but potentially know what his thoughts might be on it. I know Representative Kahn wants to be recognized, too.
Yeah, I'll be sure to recognize other members of the committee. Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like, at one point, my first comment to Representative Seifert was, I didn't see anything wrong with it. And so when I look through the bill, I see that it is already covered. And I know we do have problems with the understanding of science among members of legislators, but this is rudimentary enough so I think we can all understand it. If you look on page 3, line 3.34, smoking includes lighted tobacco or plant product. Since marijuana is a plant product, it's covered in this bill, and that obviously then goes far further than just marijuana. We won't have to have a separate amendment for crack cocaine. We won't have to have a separate amendment for cotton. We won't have to have all of these things. So I think that it's unnecessary, and the existing language is stronger than Representative Seifert's proposed language.
Representative Seifert, I think what Representative Kahn may be referring to would be 3.33, that line there, subdivision 4, smoking. Smoking means inhaling or exhaling smoke from any lighted cigarette or cigar, cigarette pipe, or any other lighted tobacco or plant product. I think the situation you describe is already covered by saying plant product. The last I heard, marijuana was a plant product. But
Mr. Chairman, where this came from was there is currently some testimony in Representative Huntley's other bill that he has that said it would be allowed in certain places of employment. If there was a special room or whatever it is, so maybe he could comment on which one. My thought is that the last bill to become law trumps the first one, but maybe I'm missing something. If you have contradictory items, could Representative Huntley clarify for us if his other bill becomes law, whether there would be places of employment that would be allowed or not?
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, and the Representative Kahn is right. This is already covered because it's a plant product, as it says on page 3. The marijuana bill does not allow smoking in any public place. So that would include workplaces. So it's already in both bills, but I have no strong objection to this amendment.
Yeah, I guess the question is whether it's needed or not, and I'll let Representative Seifert be the judge of that. Representative Pepin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. I'm looking at the top part of page 3, subdivision 1D, place of employment, and again, this gets at the question of two or more individuals perform any type of service for consideration of payment. So that would include potentially a married couple who have a home business. So I guess my question would be, and this is again to Representative Seifert's question of your other bill, what I'm trying to figure out is, if both of your bills pass, both the smoking medicinal marijuana and the smoking ban, would then a person be allowed to smoke medicinal marijuana in their home-based business if they were allowed to do so under the Medicinal Marijuana Act?
It's my understanding that, Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, that if it's considered a public place of employment, then marijuana smoking would not be allowed in there, as tobacco smoking is not allowed here.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, it's probably not fair to parallel your other bill here, but I'm just curious. So in your other bill with the medicinal marijuana, does that include the place of employment language as well?
I'm not, Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, I'm not sure of the precise wording right now. I don't have it before me, but certainly the intent was that and it's written, I don't know the exact language, that you cannot smoke marijuana in a public place or in a business place.
So then that would mean that if I were with had a home-based business with my spouse, that I could not smoke medicinal marijuana, even though I would had a terminal illness, and I fell underneath all the other, I passed all the requirements, so I can smoke neither medicinal marijuana or tobacco, cigarettes in my own place of employment, of my own home.
Again, Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, there may be parts of your home that are where the business is done. There may be other parts where it's not done, considered private.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the Seifert Amendment? Representative Figgen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I walked in late, so I didn't get to hear the initial conversation, but members, I hope you would vote against the Seifert Amendment. With all due respect to Representative Seifert and to Representative Huntley, with the two different bills that are being talked about here, I think they're both the amendment and the bill we have before us are ridiculous and stupid. They both are addressing personal choice and assaulting personal property rights that we ought not be doing. Mr. Huntley is correct. Before I signed on the medicinal marijuana bill, one of the provisions that was in the bill was public place. No public place for the medicinal marijuana to be smoked. Speaking as one who has never inhaled or smoked either a cigarette or a cigar or the funny cigarette or whatever it may be, I think both the amendment and this bill deserve a big red no.
Any further discussion on the Seifert Amendment? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
Division.
Division has been requested. All those in favor, raise your hand.
No.
Oh, you're really getting Nora.
Close.
Are you raising your hand both times?
It's opposed.
Yeah, I want to see that.
So hard to decide.
You're like a ranger today, huh? What, early enough? You were up there.
Being 19 no's and 13 yes's, motion defeated. There again, I think the phrase in the bill covered the situation with reference to plant products. So, Representative Rukavina, I have an amendment by you here.
Thank you.
A070771. Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, before I offer the amendment, I guess I'd like to ask Representative Huntley, as he sees the bill right now, what the definition of a bar is, and maybe Representative Hollis can help me out to see if we're on the same page, because what this does is define it as a certain percentage of income from liquor sales, so if one of them can help me out.
Representative Huntley,
Mr. Chair, could you restate the question?
Representative Huntley, as you see the bill now with the House amendment in it, what's the definition of a bar? It doesn't serve any food, it serves potato chips? Because that's what I'm trying to do with this amendment, is define what a tavern is. So maybe you can help me, or maybe Representative Hawes, who put the amendment on, can help me with what the definition is. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, Representative Rukavina, I'm not sure that the amendment fits the bill the way it's worded. If staff could look at that, page 5 after line 31, at least on my bill, it doesn't work.
Yeah, this is says as amended to House File 305.
Well, Mr. Chair, can counsel help us make it fit?
Mr. Chair, I have a parliamentary inquiry.
But it's two more to the question, I guess, on whether it fits or not. The question is, I don't know with the bill as it currently stands with Representative Howe's amendment what, where you can have a smoking room.
Now, at this point, he's simply posing a question of the chair, I mean, of the author about smoking rooms. Is that what your question
well,
is?
Well, right, because I think you can have a ventilated room where you can smoke in Representative Howe's amendment, but, you know, what is a bar? Any place that serves alcohol, or is it defined? I don't know. That's what I was trying to do here.
Well,
Representative Howe.
Mr. Chairman, I think the wording of the bill works. The wording of your amendment works. I would assume it would be a separate room where people could smoke, they could drink alcohol, but no employees could enter.
Right.
So it's your definition. There's no definition as to the size of that room, whether it's 10 by 15 or 10 by 100, but it's a separate room with walls, floor to ceiling, and separate ventilation. Negative by air pressure and a door that opens and closes.
Mr. Chair, it's in the bill, the definition. Basically, it's you have to have a liquor license and the have 50% or more of your revenue from liquor. And I would also say, if you look at this amendment, it does not protect workers. At least with Representative Howe's amendment, the workers are partially protected. They're not allowed to be in the room where smoking is going on. So this would simply say that if you have a bar, that means 50% or more of the revenue from liquor sales, that the workers would not be protected. So I urge you to defeat the amendment.
The amendment has not been moved. He was simply posed. I think we're on the discussion of the bill right now, and I think that was the question he was posing. Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm just, guess I'm posing the question. I think the Representative Hall's amendment to have a ventilated smoking room is a reasonable compromise. I just don't know what a bar is as defined in his. So I guess I have to make this maybe not here today, but sometime probably on the floor then. Decide what we're going to refer to as a bar. So it would, you know, my idea of a bar is probably different than other people's idea of a bar. It's the same. I don't know.
Okay. Any further discussion on
I'll draw the amendment, I guess, for now, Mr. Chair and members. But you know, right now, I hope this bill can stay as it is because. You know, contrary to what people say, I think there's going to be a drastic impact on income because of this. The state coffers, you know, people, I know the charitable gambling is really down. Representative Mahoney used to have four bingo halls in St. Paul that gave their money to good causes, veterans causes, etc., kids causes. They've all closed. Charitable gambling in every place where this smoking ban has been put in taverns has dropped. In Bloomington, 38% since the ban. In St. Paul, 40%. Minneapolis, 35%, costing millions of dollars to the state of Minnesota. You know, tens of millions of dollars. And I know you can say that people, you know, spend their money somewhere else then, but I'll tell you, I've seen what the effect of this is. You know, there's got to be some reasonable compromise, Representative Huntley, and I think this committee did that with the House amendment, and I hope that at least we can have that language as we go through the floor of the House of Representatives, but we still have to define it. So, not Representative Huntley, I just do want to clarify one thing, too, because I can't let you get away with implying something here, and that is, you know, the 50 people who died in... the mines with mesothelioma from their 2003 study, they have absolutely no idea where they live or what they did, and no empirical evidence that it was the dust or anything else. It may be the chemicals, the brake pads, or the lining of those pipes that they worked with the asbestos. And the new study has absolutely no idea where they live, up except in northeastern Minnesota, whether they worked at Conwed paper or tile mill or a mine. So, you know, but it does show the absurdity, I think, of the lack of logic in parts of this bill when, as I've said before, in the concentrator, the agglomerator, the fines crusher, all of those places up in the mines, those taconite plants where you've got, you know, 11-story buildings half a mile long with a half inch of taconite dust on everything, to imply that somebody's secondhand smoke is going to do any more damage to anybody is absolutely ludicrous. But, you know, that's, I guess, a debate for another day, because as far as I'm concerned, you can only pick on people so much. You know, members, working poor are the ones that smoke. Union members are the ones that smoke. It's gotten to the point where we put a $400 million, I believe, a year tax on those people to pay for everybody else's goodies, and then we tell them, you're going to be a secondhand citizen, go outside and smoke. At least this bill tells them to go to the back of the bus inside there. So, you know, think about that, because people that drink and smoke and gamble and maybe even swear a little bit aren't bad people. They're people that work hard every day, and you just keep picking at them and picking at them. Like they're not intelligent enough to know that this smoking isn't good for them, or that working there might not be either. It's condescending. And it's time for a little compromise, and I think Representative Hollis does that in this bill, and maybe we can shore it up a little bit, but that's all I got to say, is I'm going to vote no on it tonight.
Okay, we have some other folks who want to comment, then Representative Mahoney is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Representative Rukavina's comments. He's correct. I've had some youth athletics that were funded primarily by charitable gambling that have seen a 80 to 90% drop in their funding because of the St. Paul's smoking ban and the lack of one in communities next to it. So if we're going to do this, we need to do it statewide, and I'd like to not see this particular thing come back, and I certainly hope that this is not the proverbial nose under the tent. But having said all that, I'll say one other thing, Representative Rukavina. As you speak about union people, I have a 200-member union meeting that 20 years ago was a blue cloud, and today, even though we do not have a smoking ban in our union meeting, I can count on one hand the number of people that smoke in the union meeting, and they always end up smoking kind of off in a corner by themselves because everybody moves away from them. But having said that, I think your amendment is probably pretty good, but it doesn't need to be as long or as large. I think what you're trying to get to is a city prohibiting a smoking room if this bill passes. Towns and cities and counties try to manipulate what we do here. And I think if you were to just end it, end your amendment after the word on line 1.4, after the words smoking rooms, I think that would probably do it, which, you know, no matter what we do here, it's going to take a court to figure it out. Somebody's going to sue, and some judge is going to have to figure it out. And if we just leave it as they can't prohibit smoking rooms if we authorize them, that is what you're trying to get to, and I think that would do just fine. And if the employees don't want to go in them, I don't think employees should be forced to go into them. I don't think they should have to go into them. I think you can carry a beer or a highball in there on your own.
I think you can. Representative Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe I can make Rukavina's amendment work with some help from staff. So I would first move the 0771 amendment. And then I would need to amend it
for us.
Mr. Chairman, then I would move to amend that amendment. Line 1, strike or remove House File Number 305 and insert Senate File 238. And then on line 2, strike 5, insert 6, strike 31, insert 26, And here's where I'll need help from staff. The first, still on line two after insert, delete the subdivision 5 on page 6 of the current bill and insert the new subdivision 5. I don't know if those words are right, Mr. Chairman. That's why we need staff.
I'm told that we also are, you're going to, that first line is in addition to saying Senate file 238, first committee engrossment. Because that's what's before us. The most amends Senate file number 238, first committee engrossment. So you'd strike the second engrossment. Ms. Novak, do you have that? And any other technical changes that are needed to make it work?
Mr. Chair, I believe what Representative House is doing is on page 6, line 26, deleting subdivision 5 and inserting the language on the amendment of lines 1.3 to 1.6.
1.3.
What she said, Mr. Chairman. No.
I think what you want to do, from my perspective, to make it a little bit easier, you're incorporating these changes in your amendment. Is that,
Mr.
Is that
Chairman,
the easiest way? Or
that's what I'm doing.
From the staff perspective, what's the easiest way to proceed with this then?
Mr. Chair, I believe he is incorporating into the amendment labeled 0771 the changes that say delete the existing subdivision 5 in the bill and substitute the language of the amendment.
So if he's saying that...
The way that he would incorporate that is... On line 1.0, delete line 1.2 and insert page 6, comma, line 26, delete subdivision 5 and insert.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there might still be some confusion.
Yeah, because bar isn't fine.
Yeah, he's moved an amendment. That we have an amendment before us, and then he's either moving an amendment to the amendment or...
Mr.
He's
Chair,
incorporating those
can
changes
I offer
in this
my
amendment.
Opinion
just a moment, we'll.
Staff's got it.
I just wanted to hear from Ms. Novak. Would that procedurally?
I believe he is incorporating those changes into this amendment.
That's what I was saying. So he's incorporating those changes into the amendment he's moving, so that we don't have an amendment to the amendment then. That was what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
Okay, but Mr.
So
Chairman,
does everybody have those changes to begin
Chair.
With? Representative House.
Thank you. Ms. Novak, my intention with when we say we're deleting subdivision 5, I only want to delete from line 26 to line 30.
Oh, okay.
I want the rest of it to be there so children and employees don't go into the smoking area. I mean, that was the purpose of it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And we're still protecting the employee.
We're getting to the point where I want to be sure everybody's comfortable on what's before us. If they're not, we've got other people that I think maybe want to comment about the bill rather than the amendment. Is everybody clear what Representative Howes is putting before us with the amendment? Ms. Novak?
Mr. Chair, let me restate this. It's page 6. On the amendment, incorporate the changes on line 1.2, delete the line 1.2 and insert. Page 6, delete lines 26 to 29 and insert. Insert what's on the amendment with the change that after the period... After the word rooms, period, insert parentheses A, parentheses. So this would become a new paragraph A.
I want to make sure members all have that now. Your Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I don't want to confuse anybody. The only thing here I was trying to define what a bar was at 50% more of revenue derived from liquor sales, and I still don't think, because you go on then to define what bar is and not what smoking room is, so maybe, I don't know, there's a way to just put, like on line 6.28 after bar, where 50% or more of the revenue is derived from liquor sales. You know, but I mean, if you put it in here, you're defining smoking room and subdivision 5 members, and then going on to define what a bar is. So I don't know. I'm not an attorney. I don't want to.
Let's see, Representative Westrum, you were next. So Representative Westrum.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I've been trying to scratch through this as well, but the amendment that Representative Howes got amended on the bill a couple of weeks ago, I believe was the same amendment as I had offered with just a couple of words changed, and in there, Representative Rukavina, I had defined bars. So unless maybe staff could clarify, but I think the definition of bars is 50%.
Yes, I see it now on page 7.
Already in there, so maybe that issue is already addressed for you. And you define it. You were defining it the same way I was intending to define it.
So, Representative Rukavina.
I withdrew the amendment.
I understand you did. Representative Howes, in light of that discussion, do you think your amendment is still needed? It looks to me like it's the situation is already covered in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, no, I believe the amendment is needed, and for this reason. If you read the amendment in the end of line 3, do not prohibit a city, town, or county by regulation or ordinance to authorize smoking rooms. Representative Rukavina, do you want me to move forward with your amendment that I adopted?
Go ahead. Who would want?
Mr. Chairman, you made the motion is before us, so the only way we only have two choices. Pilot, we either vote for it or against it, or you withdraw it. So, three choices, yeah. I meant we either vote on it or we withdraw it. So, Representative Howes?
Let's vote it.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion?
Are we voting on the amendment?
He's got the amendment before us, and he incorporated those changes. In his amendment. So we've got a list here of people. I assume all of you are on the amendment. Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair, the way I heard this, we're leaving line 630 in the bill. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, it talks about a smoking license, and it's the part we're deleting is the part that says what a smoking license is.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the amendment for now and make it work later.
Okay, the amendment is withdrawn. Any further discussion on the bill? Representative, now we had a bunch of hands that went up. We'll just start a new list because I assume most of those were requests to comment on the amendment. So, Representative Stigham.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative, as I looked at your bill and I realized now there is a provision that must have been added in Representative Rukavina's committee, if I'm correct, did you send the bill there? Must have been a provision added there that I didn't realize it was in the bill. It gives me just a touch more comfort. I still think the bill is going the wrong direction. But tell me how that works with the page 6, lines 29-30, the language added there. I assume now from the discussion it must be a House amendment that was added in committee where it talks about do not prohibit smoking in bars. Those sections 144 to 414 to 144.417. Does that mean that smoking is prohibited every other place in the state by those sections?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Swiggin, you'd have to ask Mr. Howes because that's his amendment. But it's my understanding that that. Subdivision 5 allows a bar to set up a separate smoking room that has separate ventilation, and
and also that employees are not allowed in that room, so that the employees would be protected under what's in the bill right now. I guess it's not clear to me, however, if they have to have another room that where they don't have smoking.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, is it like building a new room, like a sunroom, and people walk through a wall into the sunroom, or have to smoke there? Yeah. Is that what the prohibition is that is allowed or not allowed? Tell me how this works. So this is
The way I read it, Mr. Chair and Representative Swingham, is there has to be a separate room with a door between them, and that the ventilation system for the smoky room would have to be different. This is basically what the gentleman who owns Ferns did with his bar to separate it from the restaurant.
So, Mr. Chairman, one last follow-up then. Mr. Huntley, with this of the language on there, page 6, smoking would be prohibited in every public place, but not prohibited in a bar where a local government gives the authority to for the bar to have a special smoking room. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, Mr. Chair and Representative.
Okay, and I'm using the word right then, prohibit, not prohibit. I'm using them right, so I understand.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, I'm using the word prohibit right. Let me just take one more train of thought. Does this bill address smoking in casinos?
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Swingham, it would address casinos if they were not on tribal land.
If they were what?
Not on tribal land.
Not on tribal land. Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, it's my understanding that, I see this as being very unfair, by the way. Very, very unfair. But it's my understanding that if we prohibit by language statewide, we can prohibit an action not only on state lands, but on tribal lands in a sovereign nation as well. We can't regulate, but we can prohibit. Is that your understanding, Representative Huntley?
Representative Huntley. Mr. Chair and Representative Swigand, no, it's not my understanding. I think you're not understanding the tribal sovereignty. We are not prohibiting smoking in this bill. We're prohibiting smoking in certain places, but we are not prohibiting smoking.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, I just asked you for 5 minutes to this language. If you were prohibiting, not prohibiting, where you're prohibiting, I used the word prohibit 5 times specifically. And you said, yes, we were prohibiting. And so I'm using only the language which you agreed to, and you said was what we were doing, prohibiting. Members, it's my understanding that we can, from a statutory state law, prohibit basis, we can prohibit to casinos. We cannot regulate if it's a regulation, such as an OSHA regulation or something like that. We can't regulate, but we can prohibit. And with your support, Representative Huntley, and the words that you've used on tape, since it is a prohibition, I think we ought to be a little bit more fair and extend this statewide to include all lands and all casinos and all public places in the state and be fair to all people.
Now, Mr. Chair and Representative Swigand, we had a memo from House Research that clearly states that unless we ban smoking every place, that we cannot tell the tribes what to do on their own land.
Representative Paymark.
Mr. Chair, members, I am not going to make the motion to remove Subdivision 5, but I would just hope that members of this committee, as this bill travels to the House floor, think about what we're doing here on Subdivision 5. You may think that you're, by adopting this provision, that you have some compromise that you can go back to your district for those few bar owners that may have complained to you. But I would suggest to you that what we're really doing is hurting those bar owners in the long run. If you want to talk about a competitive disadvantage, then have this patchwork. Have this patchwork of ordinances. We can see it here where some of us live here in St. Paul. We have a ban in St. Paul, bars and restaurants, you're at Ramsey County, you can go outside the city limits here, and they don't have it. They have this provision in here.
So you're really setting up a competitive disadvantage. The only way that this thing works is a statewide ban. And we could join California, Colorado, Montana, New Mexico, New Jersey, New York, Washington, Massachusetts, Maine, on and on and on, who have realized this. But you know what the other thing is you think you're reaching a compromise here, and you might get someone like Fern that would say, yeah, we did it, but what about the small bar owner who can't afford the ventilation system? And you've got a lot of those small bars in your districts. You're putting them at a competitive disadvantage. And members, one final thought here. Keep this in mind before this gets to the floor. We eventually are going to have a smoking ban, whether it's this year, next year, or 5 years. It's going to happen like it's going to happen in every other state. You want all those bar owners who are going to make that capital investment to put that ventilation system in, well, you tell them if you're still here 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, that they wasted their money on that ventilation system. We have time to think this thing through. This was ill-advised to put this provision in here. I hope that you will listen to your constituents. I hope that between the time that we reach the House floor that you don't listen to the 26 tobacco lobbyists who roam these halls and give you false information.
Representative Earhart.
I did not have my hand up.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
That was the first time.
Okay, the motion before us then, Representative Seifert, well, I started with a new list because I assumed everybody earlier was on the amendment that was withdrawn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had two questions. One, going back to the marijuana issue, I had my assistant look up the bill, and on line 5.2, under nursing facilities, it says, no facility shall unreasonably limit a qualified patient's access to or use of marijuana. That's under the nursing home provisions. I got it highlighted here for anyone who wants to look. So I feel a little misled on when we voted that down. Representative Kahn told me whatever bill is signed last is what takes precedent over whatever is signed first. And so if this bill is moving through our committee right now and this is the only chance, I just feel like there was some misinformation given out to people, because I had nursing home administrators over Easter break bringing this issue up to me, asking about where they would put this, where they would store these things, and so on and so forth. And that was one of the reasons I had the amendment drafted, and it is in the bill under line 5.2. And last I checked, a nursing home is a public facility where people can go visit their relatives and where employees work. So I don't know if I have to reoffer my amendment and modify it to say notwithstanding any law to the contrary, comma. I just felt that the committee members were somewhat misled in this, because I didn't offer it to be political. I offered it because I had nursing home administrators actually ask about this and say this doesn't make a lot of sense to us. So we can take it up on the House floor. I can ask for a roll call there. I can reoffer it here. I can have someone make a copy of this if they want to pass it around, but Mr. Chair, that's my statement on that.
You're referencing which bill?
The medicinal marijuana bill would be House File 655, Mr. Chair. And we discussed these bills kind of moving in tandem with each other, and that was what my amendment dealt with. Ms. Novak confirmed for me that if you say notwithstanding any law to the contrary, is that what we said when we were talking about notwithstanding here as our little group? Ms. Novak? Mr. Chair, I just felt that the committee was not fully informed on that, so I don't know whether I should reoffer it or just give up and say, you know, they're both bad ideas or whatever. But so that's number one. Number two, Mr. Chair, to represent Huntley, out west where I have farms and ranches, the question was posed to me, if a person has a hired man, would this prohibit either the hired man or the farmer from smoking if they had a sawmill or a workshop to fix the tractor or the chicken coop or the hog barn? Would this prohibit them from smoking on their own private property in their own farm place if they had a hired hand? It's a place of employment, and if they have a hired hand, I would assume that that's a place of employment. And if you want to come out and explain to the farmers and ranchers out west that they can't smoke a cigarette out in the machine shed, I would invite you to come out to my district, either one of you, to come out and explain to them once you pull up in the driveway and put smoking police on the door, good luck to you, because I'm not going to be doing it.
Again, Mr. Chair and members, this is a bill that's trying to protect workers in their workplace, and that's what it's aimed at. We have all kinds of numbers showing the number of people that are dying every year because of smoke they get in their workplace, and this is an attempt to not have them subjected to smoke in the workplace, wherever that should be.
Mr. Chair, so specifically asking the question and getting an answer, Representative Huntley, just looking down the table, Representative Sertich has a small sawmill, Representative Finstead has a small dairy farm, Representative Swigum has a small grain farm, Representative Howes has a little sawmill or something up there where they might have a hired hand, and it's one farmer or one private landowner, and they have one hired hand. You're telling me that when they go to the workshop, the tool shed, the hog barn, the sawmill, whatever their little garage, whatever it is, they fix a small engine or what have you, you're telling me that would be prohibited on their private farm to smoke a cigarette in the workshop or in the hog barn or in the chicken coop?
I told you that the other night.
You're saying yes to that?
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, again, the intent is to protect workers in the workplace. My understanding of this law is that that would apply, and we've talked about many private places. Every bar is really private in that it's under private ownership, and we have the right to regulate the safety of employees, and that's what we're doing with this bill. So I think it would apply for those situations that you have stated.
So, Mr. Chair, if you have a small dairy farm in southeast Minnesota and represent Pulaski's district, or you got a small farmer out and represent Junkie's district, you're telling me that they have one hired hand and they're out in the workshop. It's a place of employment, and it'd be against the law, and they would be subjected to criminal penalties.
Chair, it's a petty misdemeanor.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Seifert, I'm not going to vote for this bill. But let me also say on that particular issue, as you know, sometimes in the fall of the year I have the opportunity to go and drive beet trucks in the beet field. And my employer is in Minnesota shop. And as we were sitting there fixing a truck one day, one of the other employees came in with a cigarette in his mouth, and the big doors are open and so forth. And the employer, the guy who owned the place, said, please go outside with that because of other things in this shop. I want to make sure that my employees are safe in the shop and there's other things that could cause a fire into the shop area. Now, given that, that was the type of thing that when I grew up on the farm, my dad was, at least at one point in his life, was a smoker. And he made sure that he was never smoking around the barn or anything like that for safety purposes, for such thing as fires and so forth. Now, I don't particularly like this bill. I'm going to vote against it. But on that particular argument, I think that that safety issue that farmers make sure that it doesn't happen for other reasons.
Mr. Chair, I don't disagree, Representative Solberg, but if it's their private property, you and I are on the same page on this, but I just think if you're out in a tool shed where there's no gasoline and whatnot, it's an individual decision on that. I'm not saying you go up in the haymow and throw a lit cigarette into the bales. No, that's just common sense. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that anymore. But the reality is there are other places that are safe that you and I both know about, and I'm just trying to figure out. You know, this seems to be more overreaching than what people honestly think if you're on a small farm and we're starting to overreach into people's private tool sheds and things like that. I marvel at the overreaching that's going on here. A lot of people are thinking this is just restaurants, and this is way above and beyond that.
Representative Cotton.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my point was really made by Representative Solberg. I just wanted to add, though, as someone who grew up as a kid in one of the largest cities of the country, I'm amazed that I know more about farming practices than my good friend from the farm area in southwestern Minnesota. But I do have kids who run a farm and ranch in Oregon, and they don't let anyone smoke on their entire property, much less in the barn.
Representative Westbrook.
And it actually affects, they get a better insurance rate because of that.
Representative Westbrook.
I'm sure. Mr. Chair, a couple points just to directly to Representative Solberg and Representative Kahn's remarks. That's the individual's choice, and they make their own decisions depending upon what they want to do on their farm or their sawmill, their operation. But do we need Big Brother government making all these decisions for them, or can they make some decisions based on their own personal choices, their own lifestyle choices, their own desires and wants and how they want to live their life, or does government have to tell them that? Okay. Representative Huntley, to the farm issue or the road contractor issue, Representative Seifert brought up a thought that I hadn't totally thought through prior to this, but if you're a farmer, small, medium, or large, depending upon how you classify that, a tractor would also then be a place of employment, unless it's just an individual farmer that's doing his own farm operation, or it would also apply to a road grader or other equipment on a road construction site. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Representative Western, my understanding of this bill, this applies to indoor places.
So a tractor with a cab would be a farmer, and his or her employee wouldn't be able to smoke while they're out plowing in the field in the tractor cab, right?
Representative Huntley.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. Sure.
Okay.
Does somebody know the answer to that?
I don't see anybody volunteering the answer, but I think what the author indicated was that he will check on that and see what the status of it would be. The motion before us then is that Senate file. Pardon? Roll call has been requested. The motion by Representative Huntley is that Senate File 238, the first unofficial engrossment, be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Clark?
Yes.
Cornish?
Aye.
Earhart?
Yes.
Benson?
No.
Goffalo?
No.
Greiling?
Aye.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hausman?
Yes.
Hilty?
Aye.
Howes?
No.
Huntley?
Yes.
Yarros?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kahn?
Yes.
Coles?
No.
Manchevsky? Leader?
Yes.
Mahoney?
Yes.
Mariani? Murphy?
Yes.
Otremba?
No.
Tamar?
Yes.
Polowski?
Yes.
Pepin?
No.
Poppy?
Aye.
Rukavina?
No.
Saylor?
Yes.
Seifert?
No.
Thurdage?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
Yes.
Slawick?
Yes.
Solberg?
No.
Swigum?
No.
Keeson? Wagenius?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Westrum?
No.
Gordon.
Okay. Okay, there being 24 ayes and 14 nays, the motion passes. Thank you, Representative Buckley. We will now go to Senate File 585 by Representative Doty. I understand that we've had to send out for Representative Doty. Is he in the room? Oh, there he is. Okay. They said they went to get you, so I wasn't sure how far they had to go.
Not very far.
Representative Doty, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Yarros, would you care to see here?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
Representative
Yarros. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Minnesota Heritage Finance Division report for House File 756 be adopted.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The chair moves that Senate File 585, the first unofficial engrossment, be recommended to pass and be sent to the consent calendar. Representative Doty, if you'd explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I will make this much briefer than your last bill. Roughly 10 years ago, Laura Jane Muzzer, the heir to the Weyerhaeuser lumber fortune, passed away. And as part of her will, she set up a trust donating property in the city of Little Falls. The property is riverfront property on the Mississippi and has two very large, very beautiful mansions. The property is known as Linden Hill. She also left about $1 million to run the place, and as of last year, they were about halfway through that $1 million and losing approximately $80,000 a year. The city put out feelers to people to see maybe there were some better uses for the property, and some people, rightly or wrongly, got alarmed at that point, thought maybe that the properties would be not only sold but perhaps destroyed, and that was not what they wanted. And as one of the ways to deal with this, this legislation came forward. I hope you have the bill summary from House Research, which quotes the exact language that we're talking about here. Basically, because we are not allowed here to pass legislation regarding a specific city, there's a lot of general terms in here. And what it did was affect doing anything, basically, with any buildings on the historic register. The city of Little Falls has, besides these buildings, the Carnegie Library building, and what this language did was prohibit any lease, any sale, anything like that. So the Carnegie Library can't lease the Great River Library books into it, and the city is also prohibited from actually making any money-making uses from this property. So, after the city elections, there is now a unanimous request from the City Council of Little Falls to repeal this legislation so that they can get on with operating property which is entirely owned by the city within the city limits. That is their request, and I'm bringing it forward for that reason.
Okay, so any discussion on the motion then that it be recommended to pass and placed on the consent calendar? Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Doty, I guess with that strong presentation and the strong support of the city, I guess I see no reason to vote against it except the sentimentality. But I'd like to point out that this overreaching hand of state government was in the Marty Seifert appropriations bill and was done distinctly under his direction, not the request of a committee member who is no longer with us, of course. But I just thought that historical note was appropriate as we voted on this.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion, Representative? I'm not sure which hand went up first. Houseman, I'll go to my left first. Or she's yielding to Representative Pepin. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Doty. As you know, I'm from your district, and frequently I read the Morrison County Record, and I remember when this debate was going on last year, and it seemed like it was a very controversial debate between the citizens and the council, and It was an interesting issue, and obviously Representative Blaine was on the exact opposite side. I'm wondering, it seems like because you're here and you're saying the city council is in favor of it, like it should just go to the consent calendar, and I need to do a little bit more research before I decide how I'm going to vote on the bill. I'll probably talk to my own family and see what they think, but could you just comment about perhaps some of the feedback you've gotten from your constituents, because I know that this isn't 100% agreement in the community.
Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, it's never possible to completely survey 8,000 people, roughly. I have not heard any opposition whatsoever to repealing this bill. What the language of this bill actually ended up doing is prohibiting the city, like if they want to have a wedding party there, they're unable to lease it out under this language. The city went through an election. They have a couple of new council members. There may or may not have been, I'm not a resident of Low Falls, may or may not have been people who actually did want on the council to sell this property, dispose of this property, have the property destroyed. Most of them certainly did not, and most people certainly did not in the area they want it used. Getting rid of this bill will actually let them use their property. They have, since the new council has come in, appointed a new task force to run the place. They're very excited about finding uses for this, and not only is this messing up their ability to do that, it's also, as I said, preventing the Carnegie Library from renting their space to Great River as soon as their contract comes up at the end of this year. Wording that perhaps we should not have created in the first place. League of Minnesota City is very unhappy about the legislature putting forth instructions for a specific city like this.
Okay, we have Representative Hausman next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wasn't quite certain whether you were talking about just the private property, the homes, or whether also the Carnegie Library. In that instance, you may also need some of the language we're working on in another bill that is not yet through. But if there's bonding that's been involved, which I think there has in the library, technically there are some restrictions there, too. So we are working on some language in another bill, but that really would also affect whether this is possible or not.
Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hausman. I need to converse with you more about that to see if there's anything. The city is unaware of anything else that they can't deal with. They realize they can't deal with this, and they're very eager to have it go away so they can proceed with managing their property.
And, Mr. Chair, partly that was an interpretation that that finance was making, and we're trying to clarify that in the capital investment bill, and I think it will be, but just so that the members are aware, there's this other little issue that would need to be linked to this issue.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, thank you, and please keep me as informed as possible so that I may keep the city of Little Falls informed as possible.
Okay, we have Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, just to clarify, my understanding, talking to former Representative Wenzel, was that this was very controversial and that the former mayor was kind of hell-bent on having this property sold, and that the new mayor and the new council are reflecting the will of the people because we've had an election since then. But in talking with members who have ties there, I just don't think this is really a consent calendar bill. I think there needs to be just a little more time to look at this. Usually consent calendars are absolutely non-controversial with no question, and I just think that Representative Sertich will be happy to calendar the bill quickly if it needs to be done quickly, but in looking at a bill like this, the Morrison County Record or whatever the name of it is has contacted me on it. There have been citizens that contacted me over and over. As much as Representative Kahn would like to say that this is all my responsibility, the legislator who represented that area wanted this only to apply to the mansions and got hooked in with these other properties. I don't think by purpose, I think by accident. But on the flip side of that, I don't see this as a totally non-controversial issue. And I think it would be a more appropriate motion to send it to the Register and have Representative Sertich converse with us to make sure it can be calendared appropriately, but to move it quickly to the consent calendar I think would be premature. I just think the consent calendar has always been non-controversial.
If you'd like to make a different motion, you're welcome.
Well, I mean,
the chair that made the motion,
usually
calendar. I had been told that there was no controversy. If you're saying there is, of course, Ken Hands can remove it from the consent calendar. So, Representative Doty, care to comment?
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, apparently those people did not contact anyone in the Senate. It passed 67-0 on the consent calendar there. I really don't care which category I stand up in front of the people for. That's immaterial. I would like to move rapidly on it, but certainly the will of this group is just fine with me.
Mr. Chair, the tradition, we usually do it is if a member objects that, you know, we change the motion to go to the general register, but I don't have as many ties to Little Falls as other people around the table, but like I said, the custom and usage has generally been if someone objects, it reverts to the register, and the majority leader works with the author to get it calendared quickly. I would like to kind of continue that. Although, I mean, to me it's embarrassing if you go to the floor and 10 members pull your bill off the consent calendar. I'd rather have it move to the register and appropriately have Representative Sertich calendar it rather than going to the floor, have Representative Doty present the bill, and then have 10 members object to it. I think that I'd rather do it the nice way rather than going to the floor in a public arena and having 10 people call it up.
Need a lot of discussion. I solicited from you a different motion, but if you want to wait before you make it, that's fine. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would agree with Representative Seifert, and I do need to do some more research on the bill because I haven't been paying that close of attention since the earlier bill. But I am from that area originally, from Little Falls, and I know that just from, you know, when I go home, I know that there is quite a bit of local controversy. So I would like to myself investigate it more before I could support the bill. And and I probably will share those concerns with members of my caucus. And so I guess I would move, if Representative Seifert didn't want to change the motion to the register.
Okay, so Representative Pepin moves that Senate File 585, the first unofficial engrossment be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register, which is a higher motion. Any discussion on that motion?
Sure.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't want to try to get into a big, long discussion here, but I kind of confused. This seemed like a pretty simple bill. So, Representative Doty, Representative Blaine brought a bill forth that said that you couldn't lease it, you couldn't sell it last year, year before, whenever. Did he bring a bill forth that said you couldn't lease it and sell it?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct. There, as was mentioned by others here, lately or wrongly, there was great fear among some people in the area that these buildings were not only going to be sold but destroyed, and many people didn't want that. This was perhaps too hasty an attempt, but an honest attempt to make sure that that didn't happen. This was not a political issue in my campaign against Mr. Blaine whatsoever. It was an issue with the city council, and not my business, as I felt.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, just so that I understand, we took away local control, and now we're trying to give it back, and there's controversy about giving back local control from the group that has been sitting here all morning harping on local control. I think there's a word for that, but I can't conjure it at the moment, but it's something with the Iron Range or something.
Representative Westbrook. Mr. Chair, Representative Doty, just what is, have they expressed any plans to what they're going to do with this property right now? And I mean, it does seem to me that at a minimum the city ought to be able to lease it out, and so I think I don't necessarily have trouble with your bill or modifying it, but what are they thinking of doing? What have they told you in discussions privately?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, the city has appointed a task force to manage Linden Hill. The old management board was dissolved. The city council took control of it back, and now they've appointed this new commission. they're discussing several options, anything that basically which they feel will retain the historical integrity of the property and still allow the city to afford to keep it. Among those things would certainly be leasing it out for receptions, things like that. But as you can see from the language of the old bill, they are prohibited from doing anything without a two-year study, including leasing it out. So,
right. All right, thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just in glad as I am to have Representative Doty here, in fond memory of Representative Blaine, I won't insult him by having this bill go on the consent calendar. And my discussion is anytime you have this much discussion in committee, there's not going to be any problem getting the 10 hands. So I would suggest that the bill go on the calendar.
That's
the
motion.
I know. I just suggest that we vote for that motion.
That's the motion that I requested for Representative Doty. Said it made no difference to him as to whether it was general
oh, okay.
or...
So you've incorporated...
It was me that made the motion on the consent calendar because I had been...
Did you incorporate the motion?
It's a higher motion.
Oh, okay.
So that motion is before us. Representative Pippin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mahoney, I'm not sure if you're calling me a hypocrite or... who you're calling a hypocrite, but I just want to say I'm not necessarily opposed to the bill. My concern is just from being from that area, I know that there are some historical buildings that are perhaps not in the best shape, and as you know, a lot of times with historical buildings, they rope things off and they to preserve it, and so my only issue is I would like to have a little bit more information about what happens to those, because those are a source of pride for the citizens of Little Falls, and if we're going to have, you know, public things happening in these beautiful old buildings, I'm just concerned that it doesn't destroy the heritage of the buildings. And so I'm not saying I'm going to vote against this. I'm just saying that because I haven't, you know, been plugged into this issue, I don't have the language in front of me as to exactly which buildings this had. Personally, I would want more time to be able to research the repealer and talk to some folks from home and to get a better understanding of what the possibility of... destruction could be for some of these historic buildings. So that's my only reason for hesitating, and it's quite possible I will support this. I just because this is at my home area, I want to be sure that those special places from my hometown are preserved, just as though the Lindbergh home in Little Falls, I wouldn't want that open to people coming in and having parties there either, because it's a except for maybe for Representative Solberg, but so it's just my concern. I just would like to wait and see, you know, so I get a little bit more information and perhaps a little bit more from House staff on what the background is on this. I might even have to call Representative Blaine, former Representative Blaine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I hope we don't make a liar out of Representative Doty. He said that this would take less time than the smoking bill, so I heard from him that he's willing to have this on the general register. I'm willing to work with him and make sure everybody's fully informed, so hopefully we can get him on his way today.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I would never insult my colleagues by calling them hypocrites. I was referring to irony.
Okay. Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, somebody has already fooled with local control here, fiddled with it, because they placed this property on the National Register of Historic Places, and they've already limited what can be done with it, so... I thought maybe we were looking at a teardown on the river here, because we don't have any information about it, because somebody wants to develop the property or something like that, and the city wants to get rid of it, so.
Aye. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion no. Carried. We now have House File 1901. Representative Faust wasn't able to attend unless he's arrived. I mean, we're running a little later than anticipated, but it's my understanding that Representative Junkie is willing to stand in for Representative House on 1901. So, Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair, first I'd move the Agriculture, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs Finance Division report for House File 1901, First Committee in Grossman.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Junkie?
I move the House File 1901, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
That motion is before us, if you'd care to...
Mr. Chair, then I'd like to move the DE1 amendment.
Okay, the amendment has been distributed.
That was handed out. That's not in your packet. That was handed out.
But it has been distributed, yeah. So everybody has the amendment, so... If you could explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the DE1 amendment is basically the same way that this bill sits in the omnibus Ag, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance bill. And so we want to make sure the language is the same, number one. To explain the bill, it's simply an appropriation that we're trying to fast-track as much as possible. It's earmarked for the World War II Memorial Celebration, which is coming up June 9th, 2007. The bill basically asks for $250,000 to be matched by non-state dollars, up to $250,000 if matched by non-state dollars. The bill also states the money can only be appropriated once. Even though this bill is moving separately from the omnibus bill, again, we're trying to expedite as much as possible since this is coming up quickly. We have about 50,000, we estimate, World War II veterans out of the 400,000 that there was originally, and we want to make sure that there's buses and there's services and there's everything we need to get these folks, as many as possible from around the state, in for that weekend to celebrate the dedication of that memorial, and we certainly think this is an appropriate use of our state general fund dollars, and hopefully we can get this moving and get it going as quick as possible. So I'd move acceptance of the DE1 amendment, and then to the bill, I'll answer any questions.
Okay, the amendment is before us. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, I see that starts July 1st this year, and they need it by June 9th. Is that a problem, or is that the way it should be set up?
Mr. Chair and Junkie. Representative Leader, the bill is effective the day following enactment, so it's not July 1st. It's whatever we enacted, and actually, depending on whether my bill or this bill moves through first, I'm not sure where you're picking up on the July 1st.
We, Representative Faust, we weren't able to find you right away, so you're now here, and Representative Junkie made the appropriate motion, so the bill is before us, but I do want to acknowledge that you're here now.
All right.
Representative Leader, did you have a follow-up?
Mr. Chair, again, Representative Junkie, it starts fiscal year 2008, that's July 1st, isn't it?
Representative Junkie.
Where are you reading, Representative Leader? Help me out.
On 1.5 in the amendment.
Representative Leader, Mr. Marks said...
Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, that is correct. Technically, this will be July 1st fiscal year money. However, it does allow, I believe, once it's appropriated, the commissioner, we have this discussion in finance, can use his general fund monies and get reimbursed on July 1st with next year's dollars, is how it would work technically once we pass this. The appropriation is available immediately, so he can go ahead and use whatever general fund monies he has, and that'll be reimbursed then with the July 1st funding.
Mr. Marks, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie summarized it very nicely. We did work with the Department of Finance to make sure that what language works in this manner.
Okay, the amendment has been moved. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Before we move it to Ways and Means, the author has joined us. Did you want to make a quick comment or two? Or
I'll make just a very quick comment. I got signals to keep it short, so I'll do that. This is, 50 or 60 years later than what we should have done this memorial in the first place, and I really feel that this is our last chance we're going to have to bring this group of people together to celebrate what they did and show our appreciation for what they did, not just during the war, but really in all of their lives as what they've contributed to the state and to this country. And so I think that this is a great thing to do. Started out just trying to get some some people, some of the veterans, to be able to attend the memorial. And once I started working with the state employees, found out that there really wasn't much funding there for anything at all. So we put together a budget and an agenda and set it up to provide matching funds for the entire event. So it should be a great thing. There's approximately 50,000 veterans left in the state of Minnesota from World War II, and we're hoping that all of them can be there that day so we can show them our appreciation for what they've done.
Okay, thank you, Representative Faust. And Representative Junkie renews his motion that House File 1901, the first committee in Grossman, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. And with that, meeting adjourned.